This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Now, global design and innovation agency Dragon Rouge began hosting regular knowledge exchange sessions with thought leaders under the label Innovation Cafe earlier this year. What do they hope to achieve and what comes of the knowledge? I attended the most recent Innovation Cafe held in Kuala Lumpur recently and spoke to Zain Khan, CEO of Southeast Asia for Dragon Rouge, to discuss the lessons from their session entitled Hazy Values, Dealing with Green and Sustainable Practices.
Dragon Rouge launched the Innovation Cafe earlier this year. And the idea of the Innovation Cafe is to pull together people who work inside companies, either in innovation departments or marketing or corporate communications, sustainability, or even product development and R&D, and to bring them together in a forum to allow them to meet each other, exchange ideas, stimulate one another, and hopefully learn something new. Because what we recognize is that often people who work inside marketing departments or innovation or R&D teams in companies are quite isolated. They're not really part of a community and often lack the opportunity to share with peers and to learn from one another. So we thought, well, why don't we just create a neutral platform, create a regular event in an open, casual environment that brings people together and fosters exchange of ideas. So that's really what Innovation Cafe is about. And Dragon Rouge plays a neutral role. We don't use it as a business development tool. It's really just playing host, essentially. So we started Innovation Cafe in Singapore. Our first cafe was about 4 months ago, earlier this year. And we've just now today run our second Innovation Cafe, and this time it's in Kuala Lumpur. And the timing was perfect because we've just come out of the two-day Global Sustainable Brands Conference, which was held in KL earlier this week. And Sustainable Brands is a global platform that runs in San Diego, London, Rio de Janeiro, and this is the first time in Asia. And many of the speakers at Sustainable Brands talked about how to better integrate sustainability thinking into their business strategies, into their supply chain, into their consumer marketing. They also spoke a lot about the importance of ESG. And for listeners out there who don't know what ESG is, because until recently I didn't know what ESG stood for, it stands for Environment, Social, and Governance. So basically it's the discipline of embedding better environmental practices, creating social value, and reporting it in a much more transparent and effective way. Of course, it's also about governance, which is business management, policy making. The focus, of course, of Sustainable Brands was more on sustainability and how companies can reduce their carbon footprint in the planet through changing practices, manufacturing practices, changing the way they source, changing the way they work with suppliers, or also educating and empowering consumers to make better choices that ultimately can reduce the impact that business and the impact that capitalism has had on the planet.
Right. So how is Dragon Rouge involved with Sustainable Brands?
We're currently not involved in any direct way. However, we have worked with Sustainable Brands in the past. So Dragon Rouge London partnered with Sustainable Brands to bring them into the UK. So we have a history with Sustainable Brands. We have been a partner in the past. We weren't a partner for Sustainable Brands Malaysia, but we attended and spent a lot of time talking to the various speakers and participants. So we thought, well, let's run our Innovation Cafe at the same time to sort of take advantage of the momentum and the excitement around ESG.
And also, it's quite timely in the sense that we've just experienced quite a bad bout of haze.
Exactly. And our guest speaker at Innovation Cafe, Dr. Alison Dempsey, who's come in from Canada, when I was writing and corresponding with her, I was saying, well, in one way, I hope the haze is gone when you arrive, but in another way, I hope it's still here when you arrive, because it just adds to the poignancy of the topic. Because the haze is a direct manifestation of failures in governance,
Mm-hmm. And it's all those things you spoke about, really.
Exactly. And managing supply chain, managing sourcing in a more sustainable way. But it's a complex set of issues, and I think it's easy to talk about it, and it's easy to criticize companies, but to affect change and to move the dial actually takes years and years of coordinated efforts, and I think it has to always be a multi-party effort. It's private sector working together with government and civil society, and also the consumer has to play a big role as well. The consumers and customers have to change their behavior, have to change their norms, and place more demands on companies to start doing business in a better way.
Mm-hmm. And I think we also should not separate. I mean, the fact is that the consumer puts on a hat and goes to work in a corporation. So essentially, we're talking about one and the same. It's yes. just sort of creating that momentum, I suppose. Okay, so let's just go back to the Innovation Cafe. It's all about thought leadership, isn't it, would you say? And in any organization, who would you say is responsible for thought leadership?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So thought leadership is quite broad. And if we focus more on the innovation aspect of thought leadership, it depends on the company. Large multinationals, let's say the Nestlés and Unilevers and Mondelezes of the world, all have dedicated teams. So they have people who focus on research and development, looking into new and better products that they can eventually take to market and offer a better experience or better service to consumers. Many of these companies also have dedicated innovation teams as well. And sometimes the innovation team and the R&D team are one and the same, or sometimes they're separate, but they work hand in hand. So that becomes a very important form of thought leadership, because it is innovation that will often drive changes in businesses. And it is innovation that increasingly gets you traction with all sorts of external stakeholders. So not just consumers, but also with society at large, with government and agencies, with media. So at Dragon Rouge, we focus a lot on innovation. So we are a branding agency. So we do brand strategy, we do design, we do packaging, we do corporate identities, etc. But we embed innovation into everything that we do. So when we engage with clients, one of the first sets of questions we ask is, well, what can you do differently as a business? What sorts of products or services could you potentially bring to the market that can not only help you grow your business, but hopefully deliver more effectively on your brand promise and what you stand for as a company? So we also believe that the future of marketing is no longer about spending loads and loads of money buying paid-for media and telling stories and shouting things at the consumer and trying to convince them to believe in your company and in your proposition. It is increasingly going to be about spending money, allocating budget towards innovation, coming up with new solutions, new products, new services that disrupt the market. And then let consumers talk about that. Let consumers do the spreading of the news for you. And the great thing about this is that it requires a much lower level of investment in A&P, but it does imply that more budget should be allocated towards innovation.
What about a culture of innovation? How do you build and sustain that within an organization?
That's a challenging one, because many organizations, like especially larger legacy organizations and GLCs and MNCs, are used to operating in very old business models and tend to be quite siloed, and people in different silos will have different KPIs, but often those KPIs are not common across the entire organization. So I think embedding sustainability into companies requires, first of all, a mindset change for everybody to be effectively become the chief sustainability officer. Some companies have opted to make innovation a department and hire a chief innovation officer or an innovation team. And this can be good because they can become internal champions and they can go around from department to department, auditing and putting in place initiatives, training, spreading an ethos and culture of innovation. But I think ultimately innovation needs to be owned by everybody in the company. So in the future, I would hope that companies wouldn't need a chief innovation officer. because everybody should be focusing on innovation in their day-to-day jobs, whether they're a product marketer, product developer for a telco, or a product marketing person for a bank, or someone working in the automobile industry, or someone working in technology. So it has to become grassroots and become part of everybody's KPIs in the organization.
Some people connect creativity with innovation. Do you necessarily make the connection with these two things?
I do, because I think to be innovative, one has to unlearn everything that one has learned throughout one's career or life and break down the kind of mental barriers that constrain one's thinking and think outside of the box and think laterally and make connections between things that maybe you wouldn't normally connect, because that's where ideas come from. So I think great innovations do actually come out of a creative process. And it's not creativity in the traditional sense of being artistic or being good at design, but it's more a type of thinking. Some people refer to this as design thinking. So a way of thinking which is similar to the way that architects and engineers and designers work, which is to do deep dive into the world of the consumer, to interrogate the lives of the target audience, to look at what they're doing, how they're using products, how they're living, how they spend their days, what the competition are doing, and then to go through a very, very open and expansive form of brainstorming, which has no boundaries, no right or wrong, no fear of making mistakes, and then through a process of elimination and testing and trialing to shortlist the ideas that are viable, can have impact. And then, of course, the final stage is to do more rigorous commercial testing and consumer testing before then choosing whether one of the ideas can go to market and be commercialized. So it is a very creative process. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to balance right brain with left brain thinking. Mm-hmm. Because the right brain gives you access to expansive thinking, open-mindedness, new ideas. But the left brain will make sure that decisions that are made are fact-based, based on real market analysis, proper consumer research, and potential commercial impact on the business. So you need both. And it can either be in the same individual, or you need at least teams where you've got really good right brain people working together with left brain people.
Do you think it would work if companies created sort of an ad hoc innovation team with members coming from different parts of the company to constantly think about innovation?
Yes, and there's some really good examples of that. And recently I was reading about the Land Transport Authority in Singapore, and they've set up like an innovation cell within their organization. They've hired some really dynamic young people from all sorts of different backgrounds, some from a data and statistics background, some from a marketing background, some from a product engineering background, some from a mobile technology background. And together, this team are looking at ways to innovate Singapore's public transportation system and looking at ways of using crowdsourcing and data analysis to transform and change the product. So they're exploring, for example, the introduction of minibuses that will service the far-flung suburbs of Singapore where people are the most poorly connected to public transportation. Areas where you have bottlenecks or where it takes people an exceptionally long time to get to work. So the idea is that these minibuses will follow demand, and the demand will be based on crowdsourcing. So everyone will have an app, and if enough people, say, in some HDB complex somewhere, request that the service come to where they live, then the service will come to where they live. So it's a very interesting way of using data and technology and crowdsourcing to sort of revolutionize public transportation. So I think that's a great example of how you can set up a cell, which is quite free and autonomous, isn't necessarily held back by the same commercial KPIs as the rest of the people in the organization, and is more free to experiment. But you need to have the willingness, and of course, there has to be the investment in these groups of sort of pop-up innovation teams.
I'm speaking with Zain Khan, CEO Southeast Asia at Dragon Rouge. We're discussing Innovation Cafe, hosted by Dragon Rouge, and the topic of the day is Hazy Values, looking at green sustainable practices and corporate governance. We've been exploring the theme of innovation, but when we come back, what's the relationship between disruption and innovation? On Resource Center, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, this is Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Today's episode is all about Innovation Cafe, hosted by design agency Dragon Rouge. Innovation Cafe is a knowledge exchange event where policymakers and thought leaders can come together to discuss ideas and learn from each other. I caught up with the CEO of Dragon Rouge for Southeast Asia, Zain Khan, at the most recent Innovation Cafe held at Asia Printing Works, or APW, in Bangsar, KL. So if you hear some funny noises in the interview, it's the printing press at work. The topic of that particular Innovation Cafe was Hazy Values, Governance and Issues in the Green and Sustainable Context. Before we get to the green part, Zain and I have been talking about innovation, how you can develop a culture of innovation, how you can use it, how you can sustain it. And now, what about disruption?
You were talking about disruption earlier, and disruption is a key part of innovation in today's world. Everybody wants to be the next Uber, I suppose. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think disruption is, in a way, is more of an outcome of great innovation. So I think it's very difficult to set out to be disruptive. It's like when a client comes to you and says, we want a viral video. You can't just make a viral video because that's the brief. Things become viral or things become disruptive because the innovation is really powerful. And I think powerful innovations are based on formerly unrecognized consumer needs or consumer insights that have not yet been addressed or met, or perhaps tensions in society that have not yet been recognized or resolved. And when a solution comes along that resolves that tension for consumers, then it can be disruptive. So I think disruption is something that happens only rarely. Let's face it, most new product innovations don't even go to market. Only a small percentage actually get commercialized, and a small percentage of the ones that do make it to market become successful and deliver sustainable returns. And those are the ones that are, in fact, disruptive. So I think one should always have the ambition to be disruptive, but a lot of rigor has to go into the process in order to earn disruptiveness.
So you mentioned that a lot of people come to you asking for a viral video. What other trends come up in your conversations with clients? What are they increasingly asking you for?
Well, it ranges across the different sectors that we work with, because we work with large corporates like telcos, banks, hospitality companies, property companies. But we also do a lot of work with the multinational packaged goods companies who sell beverages, snacks, food to consumers across the world and across Asia Pacific. So they're coming to us with different sets of challenges and different questions. Our packaged goods clients, and we work with some of the global ones out of Singapore, because most of their Asia Pacific teams are sitting in Singapore. And one of the challenges they're having is that there is a rise of the local brand. So local brands with local authentic stories, whether you're talking about coffee or snacks or noodles or what have you, are taking a huge piece of the pie and eating into the market share of the big dominant global brands. And the reason for that is that consumers in countries, local consumers, are sort of going back to the roots in a way, and are looking for locally sourced products. They're looking to buy into brand stories that support local companies, local people, local manufacturers, and have some authenticity, have a sense of history or place about them. So that's giving the big boys a run for their money. So they come to companies like us to try to figure out new ways to appeal to Asian consumers and to make their brands more local, and to connect their brands in a more meaningful way to local culture, local communities. And some of these global brands have been around for many, many decades. So in many ways, they are local. But they've been really pushing the international card for a long time. And so they're starting to play the local card more and more now. So sometimes that means a change in product, so new product development, coming up with new flavor variants that reflect local tastes. Sometimes it involves a change in packaging design to reflect more local aesthetic sensibilities. And sometimes it can even involve a change in go-to-market strategy. So instead of the traditional modern trade, looking at new ways to get products into consumers' hands at a local level. So it's very interesting. The whole landscape is changing in Asia. So it's a great time to be an Asian brand, actually, because consumers are so much more interested. I think it has to do with confidence. I think as societies become more developed, they become more self-assured and more secure in the idea of buying local.
And
buying local doesn't, exactly, it's about, yeah, a stronger sense of national identity. So buying local is no longer seen as a compromise. Mm-hmm. It's now seen as something quite good and something quite honorable to do.
Let's talk about today's Innovation Cafe. How does innovation play a part in today's topic, hazy values?
Today's topic was quite deep in that we talked, and Alison Dempsey, our guest speaker, spoke about corporate responsibility, corporate governance, and some of the things that companies are doing or should be doing to minimize their impact on the environment, to create social value for the communities and societies where they operate, and to do business in a more sustainable way. Mm-hmm. So I think many people were wondering, well, what does that have to do with innovation exactly? And the answer to that is, it turns out that many of these demands being put on companies to change their practices, change their manufacturing systems, change the products, change the packaging, result in innovations. Because to change the way you do things, you have to innovate. So it could be innovating the supply chain, working with your distributors and customers in different types of ways to empower them, to educate them, to give back to their local communities, to build sustainable relationships with them. It could be changing product packaging to consume less paper and less card, or use materials that are compostable and recyclable. Mm-hmm. So there's so many innovations that are actually coming out of the demand being placed on businesses to be more sustainable. So that's the link to Innovation Cafe.
Right. And what were some of the issues raised? I think some of them include the long-term value of sustainability versus commercial returns. What came up in the conversations?
So we had a really good debate today about, I guess, reality versus ideal. The truth is that only a small percentage of companies, either local companies, GLCs or MNCs, have truly embraced sustainability and used it as a driver of business strategy and as a driver of manufacturing, supply chain, marketing, product development. Most companies, unfortunately, are still quite short-term in their thinking. And that is mainly to do with the need to produce quarter-on-quarter financial results for shareholders. So instead of looking at a true triple bottom line, which should be people, profit, environment, they're focusing more heavily on profit. So they see sustainability often, unfortunately, as an unwelcome cost that their customers may not be willing to bear. But the people who are more hopeful advocate that we shouldn't see this as a cost. We should see this as a long-term investment. So while it might mean an initial dip in returns, the long-term benefits outweigh the short-term cost. In the long term, it actually is good business and can reduce costs, operating costs in the long term. Can help to grow market share, can help to drive sales. So it requires a huge amount of education at the board level and at the C-suite in companies to change mindset. So it's always a balance. It's a balance between meeting short-term financial KPIs, but embracing longer-term sustainability KPIs. And in the discussion today, the question was asked, well, how do we do this? How do we put pressure on boards? How do we put pressure on company leadership to embed sustainability into their practices, to make it more strategic and not just about signing checks and sponsoring events and charities and things of this nature? And I think one of the conclusions today was it has to be a two-pronged approach. There has to be pressure from the consumer, so the normative behaviors of the consumer need to change. Customers, whether they're B2B customers or consumers, need to start demanding products or services that are more sustainably sourced or manufactured or delivered. So that's from the bottom. From the top, government needs to play more of a role in terms of regulation and legislation to mandate that companies operate in a more sustainable way. If not, face the consequences, face penalties or fines. So it has to come from both sides.
What's next for Innovation Cafe?
So we'll be running Innovation Cafe on a regular basis in Kuala Lumpur and Singapore. We haven't yet chosen our topic for the next Innovation Cafe, but watch this space. It's an exciting area. It's an emerging area, and we feel it really is the future of marketing. And anyone who's interested in marketing and wants to figure out how to change the marketing landscape, be disruptive, is welcome to come to Innovation Cafe. Give us a call in Dragon Rouge. Give us a call. SPRG is our partner in Kuala Lumpur as well. So we welcome thought leaders out there who want to shake things up.
That was Zain Khan, CEO for Southeast Asia, Dragon Rouge. This has been Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.